I file grievances, basically, which are contract violations. We have appeals through a complaint system for personalities, and that's kind of a, there's a procedure you have to go through with the union in order to go to a court, and so it's a clearinghouse. So it, you go to the first supervisor, and it's like a lease or any other agreement. It's only as good as a handshake or the people on both sides, and it's a way to resolve it, not to... There's no big national anything here. It's just pick, you know, man to man or person to person. And if you were to get this 50 some odd pages in here, it looks like everything goes to the top and then you get expenses. And it doesn't, to me, as a person who's filing these things, I'm in the work site, I'm helping the worker, I help the union member, and the fee payer, which you're worried about, gets the same representation. And I go to bat to him. He may hate me because I'm a union rep, and I've had a lot of them tell me that. You know, he doesn't hate me personally, but he hates the fact that I'm involved with a union. I'm also in a unique position that I'm in a very conservative point of view, and I don't fit into the union either. So I go in there, and they're looking at me like I'm strange. And, you know, that's the way life is. You know, you play your role the way the cards are dealt. And I appreciate coming here, and I just want you to know on a practical on the frontline level here, you need to, you know, address the money problem because that's statewide, and employees do support that. But I think you have to get common sense in here and make that agreement among the people so that you can solve it at the bottom, not at the top.
Thank you, sir. Next, I have someone signed up. Next one signed up to testify is Robert Welton.
Good opportunity to speak with you. I appreciate you taking your time.
Appreciate you taking your time.
Well, we're all here, and it's everyone putting time in. I just have four things that I want to say about this. First, I'd like to say that I believe this is a union-bashing bill. And I don't know that everyone here would want to go on record as being against unionized workers in the state of Alaska. It will have a trickle-down effect. It will affect non-state workers, too. The way to get support of unionized workers is not to undercut their union. The way to get support of unionized workers is to support them on workplace issues such as daycare, such as health care for spouses, things like that that there we have a long history on. I think this is the wrong approach. Second, I believe this bill is a violation of the balance of power between legislative and executive branches of government. I believe that the legislature is trying to tell Governor Knowles how he can negotiate with unions or take provisions out of collective bargaining agreements and nullify them or, in other words, meddle with them. I think by doing this, that in the long run, you're going to risk very expensive and time-consuming litigation, and I think it's inappropriate. Third, I believe that we will be returning towards what the phrase that came to my mind is a cattle call approach to bargaining. Before PARA, we bargained with the legislature, and to make our point, we would bring lots of warm bodies down here and cram all your waiting rooms telling you about all of our sob stories. The whole point of PARO was to stop the cattle call, make Governor Tony do the cattle call with us in collective bargaining. If we do this new bill, we're going to go back to the old way, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about these issues instead of doing the state's business, and you already put in very long hours. I wouldn't want us to go back. I don't want to do it myself. The fourth thing I wanted to point out is that I believe this bill is needlessly draconian. I believe it's bad enough that the state would foist the additional cost of medical insurance onto the employees. We've all had our checks reduced to pay for the higher medical costs because the legislature wouldn't fund it. On top of that, now the legislature is considering not funding the COLA, which was bargained in good faith, which we gave up holidays for. And now that we've had these two shots, the third one is here. You're trying to undercut our unit, slap us in the face. The reason that I believe this bill was really drafted was because the legislature is not, many people in the majority are not being supported by the unions. We always fund your opponents. And I would not like to see us in an adversarial role as a volunteer in unions. I think the approach is to work together, not to try and undercut us, to come and talk to us. How can we improve PARA? Not write a bill and then take these kind of the public statements after the fact. I didn't hear any kind of questions or any word of the union being consulted in this. Having our chance to draft the bill hardly constitutes getting us involved on the front end of how this was designed. We should look towards the future in this state where we're not adversarial. I think of myself as a union man, but not in a bad way that I'm like trying to bash management. The way I see it is the future we should work together. By SB 151 will, in my mind, violate the employer-employee contract, and it will undermine the tone of future labor relations in this state. So I think it's bad for the future of state government, for state workers, and really for everyone. Overall, it's a bad idea, and I urge you to not let it out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Welp. Next, I have Richard Issett.
Well, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you. My name is Dick Issett. I'm a state employee. I've worked for the Department of Labor since 1982, where I'm an employment security specialist. I'm also a shop steward, and the remarks I'm about to make are mine. I don't represent the union in this. More or less 50 years ago, my grandfather told me that paper lies still while you write on it, and that served me well for a long time. And this bill is an example of where it served me well. In reading this bill, I see that that it's designed to protect my rights by establishing ethical standards. Well, in my view, this is a mean-spirited, anti-collective bargaining bill that in no way protects my rights. In fact, it reduces my rights. Furthermore, I see nothing in this that encourages ethical conduct unless one equates weak unions with high ethical conduct. And I believe that is a real stretch. The objectives of this bill apparently are to maintain harmonious and cooperative relations and to ensure the highest standards of responsibility and ethical conduct. I find this promise to be particularly disingenuous coming from the author of the bill. Mr. Chance is a former labor relations analyst, and he and others who are like-thinking, I guess, have systematically conducted themselves when they were in these positions in ways that are antithetical to the objectives of this bill. They engaged in regressive and dilatory bargaining and have dragged the collective bargaining process through knotholes. It takes years and millions of dollars to negotiate a three-year contract. It's just preposterous what they have done to the process. And the things that are wrong with it are not going to be fixed by doing what he proposes to do. In my view, this bill is another element in a broad movement to create a second or underclass in this state, and that class is comprised of public employees. I think this bill is very unfortunate. On the face of it, it should be rejected. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, I have Christina Ewing.
I've been taking notes so that I might cover some of the cordial aspects. I'm sorry, Christina Ewing. My affiliation is... I work for the Department of Corrections. I'm an adult probation parole officer. I'm also president of our local ASEA chapter, also a steward. And this is my first time to ever be in one of these committees, so I'll just have to have you bear with me and pardon?
When you said local, that means general chapter.
Our local ASEA
general chapter.
That's correct. I've really learned a lot just sitting here. I've not had the opportunity, really, to read through the complete bill. I have a real appreciation for the people who've taken that time. I don't know that I have much excuse, since this is one of the most primary things to my working as a state employee. But I do have a few thoughts, and had I only had time today, instead of working with my sex offender caseload, encouraging them to do the right thing, I'll just kind of fly by the seat here. It just is more than apparent to me that this bill is incredibly punitive and unfair. I don't find any equity or fairness in it at all to workers who work hard. I'm one of those workers. I don't think that the bill really, as was said before me, has the possibility of correcting anything. Certainly things that don't exist. I really appreciated a number of people bringing that to light. I mean, I guess I could go down the list of things that people have brought up as good issues, but I'd find that a bit redundant to people who've been listening. Something that came to mind as I was sitting and listening is the phrase that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I can't even comprehend the level of intoxication that writing this bill might have represented to the author. It's not fair. It's not a win-win situation. It appears to me that not only employees will be held accountable for a regressed process for being able to represent themselves, it also represents a real regression for employers and labor management people, the whole nine yards. I think that the intoxication that people get wrapped up in is probably really similar to the probationers and parolees that I deal with daily, to be able to exert limitless power. And I would ask that you would consider sincerely the comments that have come before me, the ones yet to come, and just say no to this wannabe piece of legislation, just as if it were the drug that I believe that it is. And I appreciate your time and for hearing me. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I didn't have anyone else sign up tonight, but I did have someone on a sign-up sheet previously, and I don't know if he's in the audience. Don Etheridge, we didn't get to any testimony last time. Is Don here? Yeah. You care to testify tonight, Don?
Yeah, I'm Don Etheridge, the District Council of Labors. We're also opposed to this bill. We see nothing good in it as far as for our membership is concerned. With our political contributions right now for Local 71, our members, they have the chance of opting in at any time they want to make political contributions. They can opt out any time they want to. It's a separate fund completely. There's no mixing of general membership dues as with political funds in any way. And there hasn't been in ours since we started it. And we're concerned about the amount of paperwork that will add on to our staff, that we're going to have to probably wind up increasing union dues for our members just to take care of the paperwork that's involved with trying to file all the reports. And I figured it out here the other day that we must be looking to open another pulp mill somewhere here in the state.
Yeah.
To create enough paper to supply all this garbage that's going to be required. But we're asking you to look at it real seriously and then throw it away. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have anyone else signed up. Is there anyone else that didn't get a chance to sign up that wants to testify tonight? Please come forward and state your name and affiliation, if any, and take your testimony.
Thank you for letting me take up some of your time tonight. My name is Al Tragus, and I'm a state employee. I've only been a state employee for a very short time, a little bit over a year. I've worked in the private sector for most of my life. I have not worked with any other union. And since I have been involved in working with the state, I am now a shop steward. I find this bill, after reading it, like some of the things that I've heard about and seen in the private sector. I don't think that it's written right. I think there's a lot of things that need to be closely looked at here. Dealing with the grievance process, in the private sector, there's no such thing as a grievance process. I mean, it's fisticuffs at times. To be able to be involved with dealing with any sort of grievance that two employees have and having the supervisors to be involved with it and to have the union be involved with it, I feel is a very good policy and a very good way of dealing with these situations. I don't understand a whole lot about this bill. I don't understand a whole lot about state government. But what I have been reading, I think, is real atrocious in comparison to what's already on the books. I think there's a lot of undermining going on here, and I think it should be looked at very closely. Thank you for letting me take up your time tonight.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else in the audience that cares to testify at this time? You didn't get a chance to sign up? Yes. Come forward and give us your name and affiliation, if any, and we'll be glad to take your testimony.
My name is Beverly Holt. I'm on the statewide executive board of ASEA. I'm also a shop steward, and I'm also a state worker at Health and Social Services, which, as we know, was scheduled for a very, very heavy cut this time in the operating budget. Although I'm not a real good political person, and I certainly don't understand all the whys and wherefores of this bill, it certainly appears to me and to a lot of my fellow co-workers that we have a fairly good system so far in place, back and forth, being able to resolve at the lowest level possible. This bill seems to, in all of its phases, make it more and more likely that people will go to attorneys, more litigious. And I know certainly we have enough conflict within state government now. If there is not a plan, a procedure in effect, people will be encouraged to go outside. I think there are better ways to deal with it, with problems that are maybe perceived or maybe real. And I certainly would like to see some upfront dialogue before a bill of this magnitude is put into place. I appreciate your time and your trouble. And I certainly hope you have open ears to some of the testimony tonight and will listen to some of our concerns before you pass this on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else at this time? Appreciate you all being here and participating in the public hearing. Committee members, any comments at this time? It's, as I mentioned earlier, we are holding the bill because the first eight amendments was drafted for the original bill, not the State Affairs CS. So when we get those redrafted, we will then consider bringing the bill back up and addressing the amendments at that time. Senator Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know one of the witnesses asked the question of who drafted the bill, and I just wanted to express that I am not supportive of this legislation, and just to clarify that some legislation is introduced under committee names, even though not necessarily all the members of the committee always support that legislation.
Tomorrow, we start 12 hours from now at 8 o'clock, and I provided a packet to all committee members earlier in the day on what we will bring up. Actually, the main thing we'll do tomorrow, other than the packet, is get the overview from DOT on the capital budget, and that'll wind up the capital budget overview from the agencies, and then we'll get into the full capital budget after that. So with that, I appreciate everyone being here, and we stand adjourned until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.